Good morning. Pastor Jameson will be bringing us God's message from Acts chapter 2 this morning, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
We just got through singing about the presence of the Lord. It's not a sin to feel that. I'm an emotion-oriented person. And this passage of Scripture just lights my fire. I hope it will draw you closer to the Lord or bring you to the Lord this morning. I thank Pastor for giving me the privilege of not only preaching one Sunday, but preaching for two. And so I trust that this time this morning will be a help to each and every one of us. I have changed this sermon several times, so I got lots of pages here. Praise the Lord. Let's see how many I get them in order. Let's notice these people that are maybe in the temple, probably in a room, because I just noticed something. They were setting down. Don't think they would be setting down the temple. Don't actually care exactly where they were. The most important is they were the place where God had told them to be. I want you to notice these things from what we just heard from the scripture here. I want you to notice what they heard. They heard a sound. By the way, you need to get your Bibles there if you're not there. Get your Bibles there and check me out in chapter 2 of Acts. The passage that we just read is what I'm going to be going through, and I'm going to be paying attention to that this morning as we take our scriptures careful today. Note, they heard a sound like a blowing violent wind. It filled the place. What they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each. I want you to picture this. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's a wonderful deal. Oh, it is a wonderful deal because the Lord had promised this was going to happen. I got to get the rest of this before I tell you that. What they did, they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Their tongues were all understandable. Verse 5 says, they heard them in their own language. If you read just beyond where Pastor read there. It says they heard him in their own language. And they heard, if you drop down to verse 11, they heard the wonderful works of God. These are those people we were looking at last week. These are those people that were given instructions to wait till the Lord's promise would come. I have a list of these people. Remember what they were doing? What they were doing in that 10-day wait last week? It don't hurt to remind you a couple of things. Last week, remind ourselves that they were obeying the Lord. They were praising the Lord. They were fellowshipping, the real kind of fellowship. And they were studying the scripture. Obeying, praying, fellowshipping, studying. Well, we do that quite often. But the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get another one of these, Pentecost. That was a once and done. But we can have what we sing about. I don't know if I hear better if I'm up here or not, but I pay more attention to what the songs say. One of those songs I don't know very well, so I do what I hope you do. I just read the words. Listen to them. Listen to the people who know how to sing it anyway. So as I listened to that, did you pick up what we're supposed to have? A sense of the presence of God. Does that tickle your spine? I don't know. Does that help you settle in your mind? Because I got news for you. We are in the presence of the Lord all the time. Amen. But in the place like this, in a time like this, in a church like this, we need to sit down and think, well, I ought to be very careful to be, what we sing about, aware of the presence of the Lord. But we're going to look back here on this day, this special day of Pentecost. And this is what these people were doing. They were all doing that. And the promised one of God comes down. We need, it don't hurt you to look a little bit beyond one or two verses. This, I want to go back, I got to get my pages in order. I want to go back to the verse, let's read verse 6 to 9 on chapter 1. This is what they were waiting, this is a fruition of what they waited for. We're going to go to chapter 1, verse 6. If you drop down there, in chapter 1, and verse 6, therefore when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, don't sweat the small stuff. No, he didn't say that exactly. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. That is kind of saying, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all under my hands. That's, you didn't really read that version before, have you? Maybe it's probably spiritual. Anyway, I better get rid of myself and get the word of God here. But you shall, here it is. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's what he promised them that they're going to have here. Let's look at this little list here that we need to see on that passage here. You shall receive power. It's going to be power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon them, and when it comes upon them, they're going to be witnesses. Starting at home. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find out that it starts out with the Jewish people to begin with. It starts out in Jerusalem to begin with. And it begins to grow and grow and grow. By the time you get to the book of Acts, the whole world is covered. The known world is covered. So we read in this book, the transition book of the Bible here, I think, like we told last week, it's the bridge. It's the bridge that we have that God gives from the Gospels to the Epistles. And this is the way I responded when I read through this. We need to be careful here. We are all fascinated, and as we consider this scene, at least I am. I wonder, I would be quite excited if I saw pieces of fire drop on your heads today. Doing, doing, doing. Nobody got bald by it. It didn't say anybody got burned up by it. It said like fire. Imagine that. Can you? That's a super dupe. It only happened once. It says here, now I got this down. However, we need to be careful, I put down here. We are fascinated by it. And I put down, I think this is the wow factor. When I got preaching about it to myself, I went, wow! Would I like to be there? Don't you do that in your imagination? I like to enter into the scripture when I read it quite often. However, we need to see the what for. That's why we're here today. We need the what for application because I'm still going to live out what's here today. Remember what Jesus said would happen after the Holy Spirit would come upon them? He said that they would be witnesses unto me, that is, witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said, who he was, what he did, and what it meant. All that's going to flow into there. When we read the Gospels, I decided to copy that. What does Jesus say about this when you begin to read the Gospels, about this day and about what happens here? Every Gospel has the mandate, every single one. I'll just read them for you. I got them written down. The most familiar one is Mark 16:15. This is what Mark 16:15 says. And this is Jesus talking all the time here in these. This is what Jesus said. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the basic commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, peace, Jesus says to the disciples, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, so even so send I you. Do you see what, if you don't connect something, it's just nothing. This here is the Savior that's in the world, said, by the way, I want you to do what I tell you to, get with it. Without this power, nothing happens. Without what happened at Pentecost, nothing happens. Without the Holy Spirit in you, all you are just going to do is just talk. I am expecting the Holy Spirit who dwells in me since I got saved to make you a responder, because you are a person that has the Holy Spirit in you, if you are a saved person. Third place, I get ahead of my sermon. Third place, Luke says that 24:47-48, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. See, there's what to do. Preached in his name among all, beginning at Jerusalem and Judea, and be witnesses of these things in Jerusalem and all these things. Matthew 28:19-20, we call that the Great Commission. This is what we read, and you know this one. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always. You got to the end of the age, to the end of the age. This age has not stopped. He is working in our life even today. All those are all background, from my concern, to this message. I see that what they say in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, boom, starts to take place right here. I see something else I have to read here, that Jesus says that resurrected Jesus is the one we see in Acts 1, verse 9 that I read. Oh, did I read verse 9? Oh, I don't know if I did. Let me see. Did I do that? 7, 8, 9. Oh, yeah. I will receive you unto myself. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witness. Oh, there he goes up into heaven. I got to see him going up into heaven. Oh, there. I missed the next verse. There it is. Pastor, when you're as old as I am, you make mistakes all the time. This isn't a mistake. It's go down right after the red print, right there in your Bible. This is terribly important. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood beside him, by white apparel, those are angels. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. That hasn't happened yet. It could happen today. I would like to be at this little Baptist church the day when Jesus Christ comes. Boom. I got the Holy Spirit in me. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm going to go up there when I die, but I just soon he come up here and I go up with him. Wouldn't you like that? Hallelujah. You could be a little non-Baptist on that. I am a little non-Baptist on that. Now I must say, Acts 2 is all Jews at the beginning at Pentecost. This begins what I would call the new era. In actual time, the message, this message that they are going to be given, that they'll be giving out, this power is to be given to the Gentiles. So it connects real quickly there before we get very much farther in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, this whole process, not exactly the same, but God gives the Holy Spirit to a group of Gentiles, and the Gentiles come in there on chapter 10, as far as I can understand all this, the way it works out. And at that time, Peter is the proclaimer, and all who believe and receive salvation are filled with the Holy Spirit at that time and in that place. If the pastor lets him preach this summer, next summer, pastor, when you get to get a vacation, when it's actually not 20 below zero. Our poor pastor went on vacation. I don't know if you got out of the snowbank. But anyway, we're glad to have you back. I'm tickled to see your wife with you, too. That's a nice thing. I know he does well with her. What's this all about? Why am I saying all this? When we started out with this passage, we talk about that important time when the Holy Spirit comes down and begins to dwell in people. I'm going to talk about this later. He'd come on people in the Old Testament. But this, and from this time on, people who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have the Holy Spirit come in and dwell them. My notes say, go to page 3. Okay, let's see what it says on page 3. Oh, did you get the basic thing of why those people had all the Holy Spirit in them? Did you understand what it said they're supposed to do? You shall be my witnesses. Those that belong need to tell those that don't belong how to get belonging. How you like that for English? I got some names to give you. Ben Brewer. Hadessa Breckert. Joe and Noni Teachout. Joe and Noni Mita. John Sykar. Jenny Davis. Teachouts, can't remember their name. Do you know who they are? They are missionaries. Did I say something wrong? Okay. I'm sure that your prayer warriors have these names on their prayer list because they're doing what God told the people to start doing at Pentecost. They are bearing witness that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and He can be their Savior too. They're carrying out the mandate that I read in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. They are telling people about Jesus, bearing witness to the one that John calls the light of the world. Do you connect this? Does that, this time that I'm trying to get into mentally, physically, and spiritually, way back there 2,000 years ago, when the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples and others, when that promise was fulfilled on that day and the Holy Spirit came down. We're part of that. We're part of that because the Holy Spirit comes to live in everybody ever since that time who's trusted the Lord as their Savior. Oh, those are great. This is a great goal of our church and our pastors to remind us of the need of salvation. You hear that from our pastor almost every Sunday. You hear it from Pastor Adam when he preaches on Sunday night. You sometimes hear them say it just very plainly. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust in Him today. When they say that, they usually give the background. They give the background of why you need to be saved, how to be saved, and how to know the Lord as your Savior. We do that in this church because we believe the Bible. And we do that because we believe that when we teach, when we bear witness, like those people did when they got out of there. If you read the book of Acts, I'm way ahead of myself. Probably mixed up like I usually am. What we need to see, what I want you to see, is that the book of Acts is described this way, like the spreading flame. The people who, for the first time, had the Holy Spirit completely dwell in them, multiplied. because God led them, God helped them, and God the Holy Spirit was in them so that they could bear witness, not so much about the power of the Holy Spirit, but to bear witness of the one who came as the Son of God, who came on that Christmas Sunday we talk about, who became God the Son, who became the Son of Man, who never sinned, who died on the cross for our sins. For this is the Jesus that's talking there in chapter 1. He says, by the way, I'm leaving you, but don't sweat the small stuff. I'm not going to come back, though, but I'm going to send you one that's going to fill you. And then the fire comes down. People speak in tongues that everybody can understand. Oh, yeah, I think I missed something. What was that thing I missed? Speaking in tongues. There's a few other things that happened that day. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to be able to speak in tongues, huh? That makes you spiritual? Are we missing it because we don't speak in different languages? No. That was a special day for a special time for a special purpose. And I don't question anything that happened that day. But I question what happens today that's called speaking in tongues because you can't understand them. They understood it all. And so if God was doing that, that's what I think would happen today. That's on the side for those that argue about that stuff. And then I got down here in the end of chapter, or page 3. I got, oh dear, I got off track. Did you notice? I'm really not very far off. Let me tell you that the Holy Spirit came down on that day, dwells in every Christian today. Amen. As I read on in this book, the people, Jews and Gentiles, in this book of Acts, the people, the Jews and the Gentiles, are first called the church in Antioch. And away we go, and it's basically, and it's multiplied in the church after that time. And Paul does that whole thing. But we haven't got that far yet. But this exclamation, I said, will take many sermons. I leave you with an assignment. The assignment is the book of Acts. Read it. Read it like I'm giving it to you today. Read it, and as you open the book, and God gave Luke, this is who wrote this, God gave Luke the details of how the church was formed, how the church multiplied, and how God began to work. If you read that book and get it picture, then when you flip over to 1 Corinthians or Ephesians or all that, you will be reading a book about God's people who have the Holy Spirit in them, who are living out the life that God started out there at that time. This way I wrote it down. I will be a great encouragement and it's a great challenge to do that, to be his witness in our day, in our time. Please remember, someone told you. Do you remember when somebody told you that you could become a Christian by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember that day? A long time for me. I've learned a lot since then. But there was a day when I told the Lord I knew I was a sinner. It wasn't a news item to him. And I trusted in him to become and save me from my sins. This whole thing opened up on Pentecost. Before this time, where was the Holy Spirit? Well, it wasn't that he wasn't here, I don't think, but it was different. If you read the Old Testament, you read about a prophet here, and a prophet there. And you remember what it says? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and he said, and he did. Now, I don't know if it says, and then, poof, he popped out. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But we have no dwelling of the Holy Spirit in people until this time. That's why it's so much, so it's very important you understand this transition. It's so wonderful. That exciting time really did change the way God decided to do things, as far as I can see. Let me see if I got done. That'll do it. Oh, we're doing good. So then I wrote four or five endings here. things, see, I know that when you get to tomorrow, next Sunday when you come, it'll all be in order. Pastor does everything orderly, and it'll make sense. So come back next Sunday. Meantime, stick with me, and hopefully we can get it together. I put down next. These things I need to remember about the Holy Spirit. Before, I just about said this, before Pentecost, he came upon people for special times and special reasons, especially the prophets. At Pentecost, the church is born. Acts chapter 2, I know it starts with Jews, but it doesn't sweat me at all because pretty soon the Gentiles get in, read to chapter 10, and there they are. Then the believers, that is Christians from every tribe and nation, we see the Gentiles especially included in 10. And at the beginning, this time I just tried to show as Pastor read today. This time, the Holy Spirit baptized, and he does so today. The Holy Spirit baptism identified them and identifies us with the Holy Spirit. Today we are baptized by the Holy Spirit when we get saved. It's important to understand that Acts 2 and Acts chapter 10 is related to the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the Spirit filled. At Acts 1:8, it expressed why they were filled. Jesus told them what it's going to be, told them why it was going to be, and he told them, he said, you're going to have great power. The main thing, not the only thing, but the main thing to remember is that the power came for them to be witnesses of what God had done, of what Jesus Christ had come and done, who he was, what he did, how to become a Christian. All that now comes into these people that are sitting there getting a wire on top of them. And they tell everybody, this fellow that was in this midst of us is the Son of God. He is the one that died, and he is the only one that rose again from the dead. He's the one that has come to become in your life to save you and keep you forever. That's what they started to talk about in the book of Acts. Oh, dear. I don't want to go on the baptism and all that kind of stuff of the Holy Spirit because we get thrown off track, but I just want to say the baptism of the Holy Spirit means I belong to the body. In the fullness of the Holy Spirit means that my body belongs to him. So you need to get filled up all the time with the Holy Spirit and remind yourself that you belong to him. Today I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he talked about leaving. This was before he died, before he was buried, before he resurrected. This is what happened. I went through this whole sermon and I got all done with it. And I thought, there's not enough there. We see it, and I want you to see what I've tried to explain to you, but that's not the end of the picture. I tried to figure out how to give you walking out today, how to give you what you needed to get from this. This is how it come to me. When he tells his disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection, when he tells them that he's going to die, he's going to go, when he tells them about that, in John chapter 14, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, this is what Jesus said about that Holy Spirit. He said that I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Other versions say, and this is what we're going to repeat at the end of the sermon today, the comforter, or sometimes called counselor, sometimes called advocate. The comforter will come, the advocate will come, the helper will come. And Jesus said, and I say to you, and he will abide with you forever. I'm interested in what the Holy Spirit looks like when I get up there. I don't know. I don't know about that. Don't really. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. When I see Jesus, I'll be happy. But I wonder about that part. Another verse says in John chapter 15, now this is Jesus talking about what's going to happen. He says, this helper will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. This same person, I got to thinking about, how does this work? How can I get this across? Oh, then 2 Peter 1:21 came to me. This book I read, how did we get it? How is it transcribed? How did it get all the way down to me? How did that happen? Well, when I read, if I can get it here, when I read 2 Peter 1:21, I get where it happened. As the one, it says, inspired, it says, he spoke as the people that wrote the scriptures, Peter says. These were the ones that were moved by the, well, there he is, the Holy Spirit. That's why I trust the Word of God. It's Spirit written and Spirit moved, and God's people wrote down what God wanted them to say, and the Holy Spirit is involved in it all. So that's why this is a different book. This is God's book. And God had it written the way he wanted it written. And that, I don't know, the first, second, and third part of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I like to think, as God began to work that third person, and those gospel writers began to write, they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that came, Pentecost, to dwell into people, well, he dwelled in Peter, and he dwelled in John, and he dwelled in all those writers. So what I got is the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what I got when I read that Word. Does that pick you up spiritually today? Remember, you're reading the Word of God. And remember, you're reading the Word of God that we need to understand, obey, and follow. The reason we know that, and the reason we trust in that, is because we know that it's God's book, not just some book about what somebody wrote. So, what I want you to understand today is you have the Holy Spirit if you are a Christian. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you know the Holy Spirit. He's in your life. And I say to you today, if you do not know the God, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, this is what you need to think and do. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I know, I begin to understand that you came, and you came as a perfect Savior. You died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I believe that. And I believe that you rose again the third day. I believe that too. And I believe you're coming again. You can take that a little bit later. Get the salvation parts down before you get all the rest of the Bible figured out. But I say to you today that you can become one of God's people who are from now on filled with the Holy Spirit. You have him in you. That's the promise. That's why that Pentecost lights my fire. And I hope it lights yours today. And I hope today you walk out of here saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me not only thy salvation full, rich, and free. That's the song. But I thank the Lord that he gave me the Holy Spirit in me. Amen. That reminds me that I belong to him. And by the way, the Holy Spirit has a lot of other things beside him going, if I do something wrong, he convicts me of sin. I belong to him. He ought to convict me. If I go in the wrong way, he says, hey, preacher, wrong way. Because I got the Holy Spirit in me. And I want him to do that to me. And I want to. And besides, you see, if I do that, if you get this, and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and belong, you're following him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to honor and glorify him. If you honor and glorify him, you know what's going to happen? People are going to notice that you're a little different. People are going to notice that you belong to him. And then we can tell them, Jesus made a difference for me. He saved me. I belong for him. And I want to live for him forever. You get that sermon? Did I get it across today? The great value that took place at Pentecost that is permeating every single Christian right up to this day until Jesus comes again. Yeah? Most of you are still awake. That's good. I'm done. Right on time. Wouldn't you know that? We have a song to sing. I think we need to sing that song. Well, Kathy, come. She's going to play the song that I want you to sing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Let's play it for a while, Kathy. See if they can get it. Okay. 257.